Please turn with me in your Bible then to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our verse-by-verse study through this epistle of Paul. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, reading from God's holy word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine, word of God and inward light, wake my spirit, clear my sight. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that's the prayer of each one of us as we look at your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Two children were talking one day, and the one said, I'm really worried. My parents work hard to give me a nice home, food, and clothing. They cook, and they clean, and they drive me places. I'm worried sick. The other responded, worried about what? Sounds to me like you got it made. I know, said the first, but what if they try to escape? All joking aside, to put it into vernacular, in our society today, the inmates are running the asylum. There's a defiance of parental authority all over. And the models for conduct of such children today are Beavis and Butthead, South Park, and sexually active teens of Dawson Creek. The inevitable result is that our culture is disintegrating. It's awash in children's rights. We live in a rights culture today. Understands society only in terms of individual rights, not in terms of individual responsibility. When children today claim their rights, what they're really saying is, I don't want to be responsible for my actions. Koreans know all about that. Coming to America, you discipline your children overseas, but you come here, you're told, oh, you can't spank your children, you can't discipline, they have their rights. Know all about that. And these children then, knowing their liberal, godless, man-made rights, they sue parents. They deny discipline. And what they do is they speed the destruction of family and society. In other words, they create a man-made hell on earth. They rewrite Ephesians 6:1. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace to the home. But friends, this is contrary to God's order, both in nature and in revelation. Children are to submit to authority. They are to obey parents. They're to learn from discipline. This is essential for a well-ordered society, stability in the home, and for development of character in the child. God is not mocked. His word is true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall you reap. Galatians 6:7. Deuteronomy 21:18-21 is very interesting in Old Testament Israel. If the parent had an openly defiant child and they were rebellious and they chastened them, and even then the child would not submit to them, what was the parents to do? They brought them to the elders and they said, we have an openly rebellious child here that defies our will. Then what do the elders do with that child? They take that child out, they stone that child to death. And what is the purpose of it all? God says the purpose of it all is that Israel will fear and that evil will be no longer in the land. God takes rebellion of children very seriously. Isaiah 3:12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors and rulers, women rule over them. Boy, if that isn't true of America today, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. The end of the verse says they destroy the way of their paths. Children's disobedience is a serious sin. It's what godless people do. In Romans 1:29-31, there's a whole list of vices that happens when God removes his grace from people. And verse 30 says, they're backbiters, they're haters of God, they're violent, they're proud, they are boasters, they are inventors of evil things, they are disobedient to parents. disobedient to parents. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 is the picture of this secular church. It's not the true church, it's the secular church. We have the secular visible church all over American evangelicalism today. Here's what it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And then it goes on to say, "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such turn away." A child's obedience is not simply societal convention, friends. It's God ordained. It's a duty ultimately to God Himself. The need for discipline of the child is God ordained. The child is born a rebel. He's born in Adam. He has a sin nature. As David said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him." Proverbs 13:24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Hebrews 12:6 says, "Of God, whom he loves, he chastens. He scourges everyone whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all become partakers, then you are illegitimate. You are not a son of God. Just as God does not change, neither does his word." Jesus said in John 12:48, "He who rejects me and receives not my words has one who judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him at the last day." Our society is awash in parenting books, self-help books, psychological books on rearing children, good parenting, fostering, nurturing the child-parent relationship. And yet, what does the Bible do? It condenses it all in just four verses. Four verses. All the foundational information needed for godly, sound, right, harmonious child-parent relationships, family living. It's all here. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 is the relationship of the child to the parents. We're going to cover that this morning. And next week, God willing, Deo Volente, 6, 4, the parents to the child. What's the context? The context here, this is a command in 6, 1. It's the third in the household code, as it is called. First, the wives submit to the husbands in chapter 5, 22 to 24. And then the husbands are to love the wives, chapter 5, 25 to 33. And now, children, obey your parents, chapter 6, 1 through 3. And remember, all of this instruction from God is couched between 5:18, being kept filled with the Spirit, and Ephesians 6:12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The warfare entailed in the child-parent relationship is not merely in the flesh, friends, but it's spiritual. It's not just with temporal consequences, but with eternal consequences, heaven and hell. May God give us spiritual eyes, spiritual illumination and enabling as we look at the text today. May God give us Christian homes to His glory and our eternal good, both as parents and as children. May we live to imitate Christ, Ephesians 5:1. May we walk in Christian agape love, Ephesians 5:2, and thereby give evidence before a watching world of truly being in Christ, united to Him, and regenerated, that we put off the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, that we are renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that we put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Follow along in the outline in the bulletin provided as we address the topic today, how do children, Christian children, conduct themselves? How do Christian children conduct themselves? The first point is obedience is commanded. Look at 6:1. Children, obey your parents. Children, this is not a suggestion. It's not an option for you in a home. We're not talking now about a married child, someone who has taken a spouse and is no longer under the parental roof. We're talking here about a child who is under the parental authority, the roof of the parent. The word for children in the Greek here is techna. Techna. It emphasizes the relationship of the child to the parent as being dependent and weak. In America, we'd say that is someone that is underage. Underage. The implication is there's need for direction, discipline, training, provision, protection. The word obey here is to carry out the command. To carry out the command. It's an action word of the child. In the Greek, it's hupo akouo. Hupo was under, akouo, to hear. And biblical hearing, friends, is threefold. It's not just to say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and then not to do it. No. It's acceptance of it. It's an authoritative word to you. You accept it. And then there is the affection. It's said in love to you. And then there is the application, the doing of it. There is no biblical hearing without the doing, without the application of it. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James 4:17, therefore to him who knows what to do and does it not, it's sin. I think of the parable of the two sons in Matthew 21:28-32. The father wanted the sons to go work in his vineyard. And the one son says, I'll go. And then he didn't go. And the second son says, well, I won't go. And then he relented, and then he went. And Jesus asked the question, which of the two sons did the will of the father? It's the one who went, who did the will of his father. Jesus says in Matthew 12:50, he who does the will of my father in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, my mother. That's a truly one, then, that is united to Christ. What we have here is a God-given command. It's a formal order from one God who has authority or control over all things. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. That goes against our relativistic age, man's self-ascribed self-autonomy, our radical individualism. The obedience here is a specific example of the general principle of 521 of submissiveness. It's interesting that John Stott, in looking at this verse, says that obedience here is a stronger word than submission of wives to husbands and the husband's headship over the wife. It's a stronger word. Biblically, we define obedience as faith and exercise directed by the divine authority responding to the divine will. Ultimate obedience and accountability here is to God. Child's obedience to their parents. Notice it says, children, obey your parents. It doesn't say other parents, it's your parents. It's mandatory. It's due to nature, God's law, and the gospel. Nature, the created order from God as creator, this is seen even in the animal world. God's law, we have the fifth commandment included in the context here, honor your father and your mother, and then the gospel in Christ. Christ is our model in all things. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children. In Luke 2:51, it said Jesus went down to Nazareth. He was subject or obedient to Mary and Joseph. Jesus was sinless. He always obeyed Mary and Joseph. And then he always obeyed his heavenly Father. John 4:34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's a verse of contentment. In John 8:29, Jesus said, the Father who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. But for the child, the curse of the fall is built into the family. The child has an innate sin nature. He's born a rebel. Tozer says, because man's born a rebel, he's unaware he is one. And that's where discipline comes in. Disobedience is innate to the child, not obedience. So when God gives this command, like here in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents, the ability, the willingness, the desire, delight to obey and please is not there. Self-will is. Luther looked at this verse and he said, so child, for you to obey this command is going to require, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, it's going to require spiritual illumination, spiritual understanding from God. It's going to require Ephesians 5, 18, being controlled, being kept being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And James 4, 6, humility and a need for repentance. John Newton said, I would repent but can't. Though I endeavor oft, this stony heart can ne'er relent. That too is a gift from God. So child, for you to really obey this, you need to have the stance of the publican, says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What you need is a heart change. You need regeneration, a complete reversal of the fall, the most profound change that can occur in anyone, union with Christ, indwelt by His Spirit, and only then will you truly be enabled to fulfill this commandment. Your prayer should be even as Augustine's was, God, command what you will, and grant what you command. That is, give me the will to obey that in and of myself I do not have. How do Christian children conduct themselves? The first point is obedience is commanded. The second point is obedience is qualified. Children, obey your parents, the end of verse 1 there, in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord, for this is right. The command here is not unconditional. It says it's in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord refers to two things. It's pleasing and it's parametered. That means it has boundaries. First of all, it's pleasing. It helps to clarify Ephesians 6, 1, if you write there in the margin, Colossians 3, 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Just as Jesus pleased His Father in all things, John 8, 29, so believers are to endeavor to please their Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be pleasing to God. Ephesians 5, 10, finding out what is acceptable to God. So believers are to endeavor to please their Heavenly Father. In other words, whatever state or condition believers find themselves, we are to glorify God. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. An increase in pleasing God is progressive sanctification. So too, children, obey their parents, please them. Psalm 127, verse 3 said, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a heritage from the Lord. Friends, that heritage proves to be a blessing with joy when the children are obedient. But it's a curse with bitterness and sadness if they disobey. Just as a child of God, when disobedient, grieves the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, so too a child and an earthly parent can grieve that parent via disobedience. I have a question for children here. Should you obey the parental command only if a reason is given? Does a reason always have to be given? And I say no. Then obedience is not per se to the parent or to God, but the reason is judged right by you in light of your limited experience, judgment, and godly wisdom. Secondly, this command is parametered. It has boundaries. Colossians 3:20, obey in everything is balanced by Ephesians 6:1, in the Lord, in the Lord. Listen closely, children. If the parent forbids what God commands, or commands what God forbids, then you, as a Christian in Christ, you are to respectfully disobey. Did you hear me? If the parent forbids what God commands, or commands what God forbids, then you, as a Christian child, are to respectfully disobey. For the Christian, Jesus is Lord, not the parent. Disciples of Jesus obey the Lord Jesus. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. 1 Samuel 2:30, if you honor God, He will honor you. If you esteem Him lightly, He'll esteem you lightly. Look at the end of verse 6:1. It says, for this is right. Diakos in the Greek, just according to natural law, the moral revelation that God gives in creation itself, Romans 1:18 and following, is placed in human hearts, and you say it's right according to whom? According to whose judgment? The answer is the living God. The living God who is sovereign over all things and controls all things. As Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? How do Christian children conduct themselves? The first command is obedience is commanded. First point. Second point is obedience is qualified. And the third point, obedience is right. Look at verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you live long on the earth. Here Paul cites the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. He applies it to New Testament believers. In honor here, that word applies to the attitude of the child. Did you know that there's a big debate whether this commandment, the fifth one, is supposed to be on the first tablet or the second tablet? The first five, how do we relate to God? Is there five commandments there? And then five commandments on the second, then how do we relate to our neighbor? Or is it four and six? Is it four and six? It's interesting to me that the Jews placed the fifth commandment on the first tablet. And I agree with them. Why? Friends, God is the author of life. And he gives life to the child through the parents. And the parents are to be God's representatives to the child and are to mediate God's authority and love to the child. So children that are to honor their parents is part of their duty to God. The word here, honor, in the Hebrew is kavod. Kavod. Kavod is to regard as weighty. It's the same word that's found in Exodus 33:18 when Moses says to God, show me your glory, show me your kavod, show me your weightiness, worthy of respect, veneration, high esteemed, deserve deference, obey whether a reason is given or not. Look at the end of verse 2. The end of verse 2, it's the first commandment with promise. Well, what does that mean? Well, the meaning there is given in verse 3. In the Old Testament, this would mean material blessings. But in the New Testament, it refers to spiritual blessings in Christ. It's interesting here. That's probably why Paul changed the promise from in the land, which refers to Israel and the Jews when they entered the promised land, Canaan, to on the earth, referring to the church there as an international community. Us in the church, we're blessed. Ephesians 2:6 says he's raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but also we're blessed on earth. So when you look at verse 3, there's two interpretations. There's in general terms and also in individual terms. In general terms, there's endearing social stability when children obey their parents. So there's healthy and strong families then, and families are deemed by God as the cornerstone of a society. But there's also, we can look at this in individual terms. Individual terms. Children who obey their parents, they avoid things that would cause them harm and shorten life as to quantity of time, but also as to quality of time. Obeying the godly wisdom of parents enriches the life of the child both practically, socially, and spiritually. What a blessing for a child to grow up in a Deuteronomy 6 home. Deuteronomy 6 home, a home that endeavors to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when they sit down, when they rise up, when they're in the house or out of the house on the way, wherever they are, they talk of things of God and they engrave God's word on their walls and on the doorposts. Scripture and God fills the home. And the result is the child's life then avoids sin that robs and destroys and obeys that enriches in godliness. Child or young person here today, God has placed the choice before you. There's only two ways. As Jesus said in Luke 11:23, you're either with him or against him. You either gather or scatter. There's no third option. In the context here, there's either obedience in the Lord or there's disobedience against the Lord. It's an either or. Parents being God's representatives to you. So I ask you, can you humble yourself before God and pray that he would open your eyes to see things spiritually, to see the value of a path of obedience, the truth of Ephesians 6:1-3 over a life of self and rebellion against God, the Bible, who is the ultimate good always. It's interesting in studying this week for this sermon, my wife got news from her brother that his wife's brother died. Now this brother has an interesting history. When he was a teenager, he openly rebelled against the parents. Openly rebelled. They said something, he'd do just the opposite. His parents would say, don't make friends with that kind of person. That's bad for you. He did it anyway. He ran with the wrong crowd. He got into drugs, got into alcohol. He left home for days on end, weeks on end, without notifying the parents, and he'd show up unexpectedly, and then he'd leave again. Same open rebellion against parents, against Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Got married, somebody they didn't know, non-believer, of course, way of the world. And I'll just inform this last week that wherever he was, he died. Died cirrhosis of the liver from his alcoholism, kidneys shut down, all sorts of problems physically. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. How do Christian children conduct themselves? Obedience is commanded, it's qualified, and it's right. In conclusion here, I would encourage each of the young people in the church, don't be an Absalom. Don't be an Absalom. I would encourage you this week to read 2 Samuel 15 through 18 and the story of Absalom. His name means my father's peace. He was the apple of the eye of his father David, the favorite son, just like Joseph was to Jacob. But he lived a life of disobedience. He didn't honor his father. He caused David much grief. He died a violent death. And his grave is called Absalom's Pillar or Monument, 2 Samuel 18, 18, is marked to this day by a heap of stones that travelers who pass by, they throw additional stones on the heap. And this is what they say. Cursed be the memory of wicked Absalom, and cursed be all wicked children that rise up in rebellion against their parents and against God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. These are hard words, but by your Spirit may they make for soft hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, these are words that need to be heeded. They can have very dire consequences if disobeyed in this world and for eternity. I pray earnestly, Dear Heavenly Father, for each one of the young people here at Grace, that by your Spirit they know your word, they understand it spiritually, they would love it as they love by faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. They love your word, they respect it, they delight in it, and they'd walk in its truth. That they would obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you'd fulfill the promise in them in verses 2 through 3. We pray this earnestly by your Spirit's enabling. In Jesus' name, amen.